Hello and welcome. Scare track. Episode. Welcome to the Scare Track podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. Scare Track is a podcast featuring three scare enthusiasts who discuss the crazy world of scare entertainment. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
You're listening to Scare Track, the UK's first scare attraction podcast. Now, welcome your hosts, Mikey, Sean, and Hannah.
Hello everyone and welcome to this very special episode of the Scare Track podcast. We have just pulled up at Farmer Ted's in Ormskirk because we are here for an exclusive look behind the scenes of the mazes of Farmageddon. We come every year on press night. We have a fantastic time. It's very windy today, but I am here with almost everyone. Unfortunately, Sean couldn't make it this episode. I'm here with our newbies, Kate and Martin. Kate, now you've never been to Farmageddon before.
I've never ever been, so it's quite odd for me to come first time for a behind the scenes.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm sure I'll love it.
Well, what me and Martin will vouch for is the fact that the sets are probably some of the best here in the UK.
Oh yeah, they're absolutely beautiful inside and out.
Yeah,
that excites me.
Yeah, they're really, really impressive. So we're really excited. We're going to be having an exclusive walkthrough with Mark Edwards, the managing director and creative director here at Farmageddon. So thank you so much to Mark and the team here for letting us come along and check it out. We're also with Hannah. Hannah, you okay?
I'm not bad. How are you?
Now, Hannah, I'm all right, thanks. Hannah's testing out our brand new bit of recording equipment, which is very exciting. We're not too sure we can film inside yet. If not, don't worry. We'll have all the information you need here on this podcast. So I think it's time for us to go in. So we'll catch you in a little bit when we're with Mark Edwards from Farmageddon. See you in a bit.
That's it. He's got us.
So this is the meat locker.
The one that always
makes
me scream. Yep.
Yeah.
Got,
so there's three rooms.
Chainsaws.
Yeah, chainsaw. They've got chainsaw out at the back. We've got a treatment plant. And this originally, in its first day, when we first opened in 2007, was called Squirm 3D. And Stuart Smith did our artwork way back then. And he actually designed the Farmageddon skull, you know, the logo.
Yeah.
And I contacted him just on a whim, and he said, yeah, I can let you have that. And we charged next to nothing, to be honest. And sent me the CDs in the post, and the files on the CDs were like 33 meg. Now, back in 2007, it took my computer
hours to
process it, because you couldn't email it, it was too big. So it was Squirm 3D, and then after, I think we did that for 2 years, then year three came, we realised that people didn't really know what this 3D thing was, and it was more of an art gallery, and people were spaced out, looking at it, going, wow, that's really cool. And it's only really, the last corridor was scary, we had a clown in there. So then we rebuilt it, gutted the whole building, because it used to be the service area for a piggery, where all the babies were made. And we called it Insanity.
Right, okay.
We called it Insanity, and it was Insanity for 4 years, and then 7 years ago, which would be right, wouldn't it? 7 years ago, the meat locker was born.
Right.
We had quite a few people in the mental health. What's the word I'm looking for? Mental health departments complaining about calling the place Insanity and how it was mocking the mentally ill, which is, you know, it's fair enough comment. But
we had that quite recently as well with all the asylum attractions, didn't we? I know quite a lot of attractions stopped calling them, asylums and things like that.
So we then rebranded, and the meat locker is what it is today. And along the route, actually, while we're talking about mental health, we had our 3D house at the moment, Contagion, used to be called Psychosis.
Yes, yeah, I know. Yeah.
And then we even had the local MP write to me.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
It was just fortuitous that we were actually changing that house that year.
Yeah.
So it might have looked good as if we'd backed down, but in effect, we said, yeah, you're quite right, but we were actually changing the
place. You're changing it anyway, so it works, yeah, definitely.
So the meat locker is basically blood and gore. The perpetrator of evil in here is a chap called Malachi, and he feeds on his victims. So you join him and work with him,
yeah.
Or you bleed. So then we come through into the first area, which is our meat processing plant. And as you can see, there's a delightful victim there going through a sausage machine, really, I think, for want of a better description. This actually used to be a turntable, and it would rotate 360 degrees when it was insanity. And where we're stood now was the queue line. So all behind us was queue line. And then this would turn round. We'd put 8 to 10 people in there, and then it would turn round 180 degrees.
Okay.
So as one half was emptying, the other half would be filled. It's like our Scooby-Doo wall.
Exactly.
And it was great.
Yeah.
But then as the business grew and grew, the motor that was driving this, it was just getting hotter and hotter and hotter. Yeah.
And the capacity is getting bigger as well.
And that was our pinch point. So now it's become part of the attraction. And it's worked in well, really.
Yeah, it looks really impressive. We were saying to Kate, what you will love about this place is the attention to detail of sets, definitely. I know in some of you got the huge sort of animatronics,
yes,
in the Foundry, we were talking about that when we came here last year, that there's some really quality visuals, as opposed to just a lot of dark corridors with an actor in the end of it.
And there's nothing wrong with dark
corridors. Oh, no, of course.
But, you know, we sat our stall out to, you know, we always wanted to be, when people thought of Halloween in this area, we wanted the people to think of Armageddon.
Yes.
And that was 12 years ago.
Well, I have people talking to me. I'm 2 hours away, and I have people come back from university, have come to, you know, uni close to here. And we have actually a family that visit from up this way because they have parties every year, and they know the kind of stuff I'm into, and they always say, Farmageddon. So every time they're like, you've been to Farmageddon this year? I'm like, yeah, well, I'm going next week, actually.
That's great. I mean, it is great to hear. But you know, you just because the whole industry, scare attraction industry, is getting more and more popular. You know, we've got to try and keep ahead of our game.
Yeah,
you know, we
definitely.
Have. And one day we won't be. You know, when that day will be, I don't know. But hopefully, you know, for the next few years.
So far, so good. Yeah. You're doing all right. Yeah, definitely. What I will say about this place is the drop boxes get me every time.
Good.
Every bloody
time. I'll let them know that. We were training last night. So this was the other half of that turntable, so you can see how it was made now. And we thought, well, rather than cut it up and take it out, we'll cut a couple of doors in it and use it.
Yeah.
But no, it's a great, you know, it's people walking here and, you know, some of the actors on the wall.
Yeah, loud. Yeah. Can scare yourself in it, I guess, can you?
And then the route, we've actually changed the route in this house this year.
Right, okay.
And believe you me, it still gets me confused. Yeah. A bit of finishing off and painting and decorating, but nothing.
So you're every year, obviously, the attractions return, you're always adding new bits and changing bits and bobs.
We try to think we up to anywhere between 15% and 30% we change each year.
Yeah,
It's not always the case. I think this year we've probably done 30%.
Right. Yeah.
Alter things and move things about.
Just keeps it fresh, I guess, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but again, you know, like you say, you do forget how much detail is in here.
Yeah, definitely.
And because of that, you know, people will come in, their brain can't sort of process everything they see.
Yeah.
You know, that's why this industry works, with the detail.
Of course,
you know.
Yeah. If they go through it twice, they'll see things they didn't see the first time, the second time. So,
and then if you've got scare actors in here again, it brings it all to life. And,
of course, yeah.
You know, they might be distracting you, not looking at a particular prop or an area, so you might not have seen that the first time through.
Definitely.
We've just got some animatronics.
Yeah.
And to be honest, last year we didn't have him working.
Right.
Because
of
where he was, we just didn't use him.
You had an actor doing the job anyway. I guess so.
Whereas this year, because we've altered the route slightly, you know, he's just another distraction in this air of madness.
Yeah.
They're all pretty realistic looking. clicking as well, I've seen, like...
What's that clicking?
That's just, those are the solenoids on the air valves.
It's putting me on edge.
Yeah, no, if it had air in them, he'd be twitching in his eye.
They look like they could spring to life at any moment.
Who knows?
See you later.
They're very long attractions here as well. I mean, I know your newest attraction is going to be one of the longest I've probably ever walked through, but each attraction, I know there's some mazes I've been through throughout time, and you just about getting into it, and then it's like, oh, I can hear the chainsaw, it's over.
Right.
Whereas here, especially the first time I came, I think I came the first year, 2000, I can't remember now, it was Michael's first year as well, and we were just like, how long are these? They're long. There's lots to them. You think you're towards the end, and then you've got another few minutes to go, and there's so much to it, which is, again, gives people more value for their money, I guess.
Well, I hope so, you know, because you can have a short maze, but if you get your bang for your buck and there's lots of scares in there, then, you know, it is what it is.
It works, yeah, definitely.
You know, and whilst we do have a lot of actors on site, I mean, we were training last night, we had 129 actors on site. There are some nights when you might be 20 or 30 short.
Yeah.
But hopefully the quality of the sets doesn't detract from the experience.
Forward, definitely. Yeah. Is that something you found, obviously, that every year we see either a new attraction or a new park or parks getting bigger and obviously they need more actors. And I know some places struggle to get actors. Yeah. And is that something that you found here, or have you got quite a good team that come back every sort of year?
We have a hardcore of maybe 60% of the team come back year on year.
Yeah.
But you're right. As if you suddenly say, do you know what, I'm going to put another few thousand square feet here or whatever, you've got to think, well, okay, we've got to man it.
Yeah.
And it's got to pay for itself. So we've tended to go down the quality route, you know, with lots of theming and submersing people into that sense of belief. And, you know, if some rooms were built to have three actors in it and there's only one actor, the room still works really well. And also, you know, the decor in it helps it bring to life as
definitely
well.
Yeah,
this actually came out of my house.
I was gonna say, it looks like a full-on kitchen.
It did actually come out of my house.
Were the blood stains on it before, or
well, that was my first wife. And then this is Malachi's room.
This is a great room. This is, I know I've been terrorized in this room a couple of times. This is really impressive.
It just wants readjusting now because we've had obviously a workbench in here, building and lifting and shifting stuff.
It throws you off a bit going into such a big room. You don't expect it after so many like small corridors. You end up just coming in and like, whoa, hang on.
And that's, you know, that's the secret to scare attractions is you've got to, you know, it's a journey, so it's not all high intensity all the time.
Yeah.
You build them up and down and hopefully throw a few surprises in there. On the way. And then we're coming to the end of this attraction now. So we've got prison cell doors, and you'll be invited to be into one, thinking you're going somewhere else, where in effect you're just going turning left and then into the treatment plant.
Right, okay.
Which is the area where the water floods out.
Water, that's really impressive finale. Yeah. That is, yeah. But,
so this area doubles up for many, many different things. That's right. During Farmageddon, this is Freak Street. So basically, it's a nightclub.
Yeah.
And we have zombie flash mob dancers. We have a magician that does some stuff on the stage. And it's quite good, actually, because it was the first outing last year. We didn't really know it was going to work. And it just went from...
It was great.
We were having dance-offs with the customers, and it was great.
We spent half our time in here, didn't we? Yeah, last year.
It's just mad, really, isn't it?
It's good that every time we go down the side, there's a different thing going on.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's really good. It's sort of like if you mixed a scare zone with a stage show and a party.
Exactly.
Mash it all together. Yeah. It works spot on, when you got the DJ up there as well.
And there's four lines of cue here before they go in through the claustrophobia bag.
Yeah. So they're not getting bored queuing because they've got stuff to see and stuff to do. Yeah. Yeah, so, this is great.
It was, and then it doubles up for Christmas, and it doubles up for now. We're doing shows throughout the summer as well.
I was going to say, because it's really well themed, but it can be a blank canvas, I guess. Like you just said, Christmas, all you have to do is put some lights and snow, and it doesn't
just happen.
No. very smart. Multi-purpose,
It's just finding the right theme, really.
Yeah, you know?
Because we wanted it to be different than the other hall.
Yeah.
Which is more sort of... Alpine Lodges, I suppose.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So, right, so we're now going to go into Contagion. But the floors have all been redone this year, right throughout the.
It looks bigger. Yeah.
And then we'll head on in.
This is the first ever 3D attraction we did, this was.
Right.
Blown away, I was. Because you think it's, like, especially the people that you have sort of in the morph suits. With
yes, they just disappear into the walls.
Disappear, yeah.
I've never seen, because I'm an airbrush artist as well, and like I've never seen in the UK anyone actually bother to get
Well, the guy comes from this level. Stuart's been doing it for years.
Yeah.
You know, he now makes a good living out
of it. This kind of detail I've not seen in the UK.
Yeah. You can do anything you like as long as it's this. But he will put a bit of a twist on it now and again. But no, it's amazing how you think you can put your hands in the walls.
Yeah, definitely.
Love credit.
So when you sort of like get feedback from your attractions, is this sort of one that people go, wow?
Because it's very trippy and it's so different.
Yeah.
You know, because it is different than your standard scare attraction.
Definitely.
As such.
Yeah.
But it's a big commitment because it was a full-on scare attraction, and then basically you have to paint everything black from top to toe.
Gosh, yeah.
That's everything.
Yeah. Do you ever find with, obviously you have thousands of people walk through this, does it need a lot of maintaining, especially the floor?
Well, we got 3 years out of it.
Three, okay.
And we've just redone it again this year.
Yeah.
This is the fourth year this year. But because, you know, we're using decent quality timber and we're using decent quality paints, you know, we will get, and also there's no mud coming in from outside.
True, yeah.
Because it's all undercover out, you know, in the QI.
You're not getting
wet feet
and all that, yeah.
So how long roughly did it take him to paint all this?
Originally,
yeah.
When we first did it, it took him 2.5 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Epic.
I sprayed everything black and then I was just basically mixing the paint for him, helping him out, lifting and shifting. So he does all the
detail.
Walls first, and then we finish with the floors and work our way out.
That's what's good. Excuse the pun, because it's a 3D maze. But not only is it three-dimensional with the paintwork, the actual attraction with the amount of levels, you can see other levels. Like, you know that you're up high now.
Yes.
You know, it just brings that extra level to it, doesn't it? Again, excuse the pun.
Yeah.
Extra level.
And, you know, the twists and turns and, you know, the corners aren't 90 degrees, they're sort of 45 degrees and it just throws out your awareness of where we may not be.
You've come out feeling drunk, basically.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah. There's so many props in here as well, isn't there? So you haven't just gone with just the walls. There's so much more involved in it as well. So what's your favourite part to put into an attraction? Is it the props, animatronics, just the overall, overall theme?
I enjoy designing them.
Yeah, just the full-on... From start to finish.
Design them and then actually see, hopefully, that what you put on paper, that's what it looks like in the end.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, certainly this year for the Beast of Terror, it's more or less 95% as I wanted to see it.
Perfect.
Sometimes, like in this particular building, because we've got a lot of height, in certain areas we wanted to go that little bit taller, but because we were just being too greedy, that's why we've got some slanted ceilings and that. But again, that adds character.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the whole industry is just limited by your imagination.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, and trying to be different.
Yes.
You know, that's what we try to be at Farmageddon. We try to be different than other scare attractions, and hopefully, you know, some of the things we do are unique.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, set pieces like this is like when you're going through an attraction, it unfortunately will be lost on just general Joe public sometimes, won't it? But we'll go through this and we'll go, that's insane, that's massive. Like this, it doesn't even look like a barn or warehouse. Yeah. You've got the 20 foot high sort of facade, sort of, and the facades, especially now with Freak Street, especially with the tower on the farm, all there, you're not just going in a side little door in the back of a sound studio, you're actually...
Well, the sets, aren't they nowadays?
Full-on sets, you know, full definitely. On sets. So they're just, the outside is just as important.
Tall.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It keeps going. And I think, you know, that's just my attention to detail, really.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean to say it's right, but, you know, it's there, it's done, and it just makes the whole journey more believable.
Yeah, more escapism. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
That's phenomenal. Then we're going into the bathroom scene. For want of a description, the fact that there's a bath in there.
Yeah.
Crazy creatures on the wall. And a man with a some sort of 6-inch camping
hook through his mouth. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So what's sort of the backstory to
Contagion?
Contagion.
It's all about an experimental laboratory where the tests have gone wrong, basically.
Yeah.
And the people working inside have been affected by the experiments. And
like
turned into mutant clowns and all sorts of strange creatures of the night.
Perfect.
Yeah, for want of a phrase.
Yeah. Does it pay to know the right people when it's you're creating an attraction, I guess? It's obviously there's so much you can do yourself and stuff.
Yeah, I can weld, I can build, I'm a joiner, I can do everything. So when we get contractors in and it's trying to pull the wool over your eyes, I'm thinking, hang on a minute, you know.
You know what you're doing. Yeah, nice job.
And that's been a plus and a minus, because when we're busy, sometimes I'll just think, do you know what, we can do that.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't, because it just puts too much pressure on the team.
But you also know you're not going to get ripped off, I guess. Yeah.
But no, as long as it's good and sound and safe and strong.
That's the main thing, isn't it, I guess?
It's just got to be functional as well.
Yeah, especially with throughputs, amount of things. Yeah. It's all well and good putting a fantastic, amazing scene in your attraction, but if it's going to take 10 minutes for one group just to see it, it's not going to work.
Stuart Smith, who did the artwork in here, he couldn't get over how good the condition of the place was.
Yeah.
He was expecting to have holes in the walls, and apparently where he's worked in the States, the place would just get trashed.
Yeah.
Well, we build it to a certain standard, so it will take a beating. Not that we encourage it, but you know, it's a big investment, so we want it to last.
Yeah, definitely.
Come through into the bedroom or the attic.
Which one of
them to be in? Well, they can sleep anyway. So. You say with a beating, do you get much? I know it's a sore subject and stuff, but do you ever get many bad customers trying to smash things up or anything like that? Or
get people trying to take the props.
Yeah.
I think the, and you have to laugh, but I think the best or worst effort the customer once made is actually came out of when it was called Insanity. We had a clown room, and he'd actually picked a clown up, a prop, a dummy, and he walked out with it under his arm as if it was quite normal.
<You know? laughs> I'll have that. Cheers.
Yeah, needless to say, he didn't get too far.
Didn't get far.
And then as they enter the freezer, we asked them to remove the 3D glasses, throw them into the bin. Perfect. And then they enter the dead end, which is everybody's favourite. And this is where we come at you completely, you know, unaware. Chainsaws.
Yeah, perfect.
People think, what's happening now?
Yeah. Zombie paintball's cool, yeah. Because it just makes
different. I would hate to be the zombie, though.
Yeah. But you can just...
When we come, it was hammering it down.
Oh, it was, yeah.
So they're in a field, and they're soaking wet, getting shot.
Fair play.
To be fair, though, they don't actually get that wet because the suits are all
so
rubber.
Much on them, yeah.
They tend to sweat more than anything.
Yeah.
Because it's like 10mm neoprene lined.
Wow.
So this is a bonus maze for if you do zombie paintball. And the way that it's built into the attraction is that it's a decontamination zone.
Right.
And whilst we won't be using all of it, we'll certainly use a good half of it. There'll be a lot of smoke in there, a lot of lasers, a lot of strobe lights, and some other surprises as well.
Yeah, no, awesome. Sweet.
So as the trailer unloads, there's 30 people on the trailer, or thereabouts. They'll make their way down here, do this experience. As they come out on the corner, they'll head back up to Chainsaw Alley. Right. So in effect, it just works in nicely.
It makes sense, just adds to it. Yeah. That's where Hannah Chainsaw fell Alley. To the floor a few times, yeah, definitely. So this is new for this summer, was it?
No, this was built ready for last Easter before last, so
right,
Easter 2017. And then you can see
That's the field we use for zombie paintball.
Right.
We've got 8 zones this year. So we start off with toxic dump, we've got the schoolhouse, we've got big top, we've got the hen house, we've got the bunker, the bar and grill, the churchyard, and Hell's Breach,
right,
which has the flames coming out the tower.
Yeah, nice.
What I'm quite proud of is the fact that 90% of our attraction is undercover.
Yeah.
Apart from zombie, well, to be honest, all of it's undercover apart from zombie paintball.
Yeah.
Weather-wise, you know, so I think it was only right if people are going to do zombie paintball that then this follows on, because at least then they'll be dressed to go outside to do the paintball
side
of it.
True, yeah, that's a good point.
Whereas if we just said, right, this is just a new attraction for 2018, and, you know, people come because it's part of the night out, so they'll come here and then they'll go off back into Liverpool or Preston or Manchester or whatever.
Oh, we saw some people in stilettos and everything when we came. Yeah, yeah, they're dressed to the nines, aren't they? No, so it works well that it works along with the paintball. Yeah, definitely. And it is, like you said earlier, something different, the zombie paintball sort of thing. You can just let your... If you've had a bad day at work, you just go, come on! Yeah.
Remember, if it moves and it's dead, aim for the head.
Aim for the head, yeah.
This is the House of Rock.
Yes.
Yeah. So we've got videos linked to the songs that are being played. We've got the girls upstairs dancing. We've got a zombie rock band downstairs. Were just props, and then we've got in the windows downstairs the silhouettes of zombies as well.
Now this is always an impression, because again this is the queuing area, isn't it?
This is the queue line.
There's things for them to watch and see and do whilst
and
there.
The queue line go through the crowds as well.
Yeah, no, it's a great area.
So then this leads on to the Beast of Terror.
This is sort
formerly Terror on the Farm. Just putting together the foundry now.
The foundry was new a couple of years ago, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yeah, yeah, this will yeah. be its third year.
Yeah.
And outdoors, we've got flames as barrel rollers. It's all built around containers.
Yeah.
And they start the journey through this container. They weave their way through it. In fact, I think we can squeeze through it here.
So what made you sort of add this to Terror as opposed to making it its sort of own individual attraction? Do you want to make the Terror just bigger and more impressive?
Because as its owner is an individual attraction, it's not particularly large by our standards.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to go outdoor. We wanted some flames and loads of smoke, you know. And we have these big props to cut people in half.
Yeah.
And also, you know, there's an element of certain people just like being outside.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't want to be cooped up inside a building.
Definitely. And it does just add to the, again, they're thinking value for money, like they've gone through this, it's taken them 10 to 15 minutes, twice as long as anywhere else they've sort of visited, and, you know, they're thinking, wow, that was already an incredible maze of terror, but adding this onto it, it just adds to it, I guess, doesn't it?
And also, you know, you've got the weather as well. That always plays a big part. It's, you know, going in and out of place as well, whilst you're being frightened, also can be, you know...
Especially on those autumn nights, it's nice and dark and cold and...
You know, you often get a very, very still night and the fog just lingers, you know, to the point where we've had to swap out all our smoke alarms now for heat detectors.
Really?
Because we had the fire alarms were going off. So that's all been done and passed and okayed. So then they travel through here... And then as they come out the final container, past the barrel roller, they then head back into the Beast of Terror. So this, if you like, this is just an annex of the Beast of Terror.
Right, okay.
There's a tremendous amount of detail in here.
Huge.
And this is a waterfall as well, so we've got water coming out of his mouth into the pond down below.
Wow.
And then we've got our dragon up here.
He is incredible.
And he moves and he growls out here and... So the Beast of Terror is based all on the devil and religion and the occult and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, we don't want to offend anybody, but be warned.
But be warned. Disclaimer. And where did this sort of idea come from? Like, obviously, you've already got this attraction here and you extended it with a foundry. What made you want to make this into something that's huge and like really?
I think it was just circumstances, really. I think the building was gets used for various things throughout the year, and because of the size of it, I mean, it's one of the biggest buildings on. It's not the biggest building, but it was when we first started getting into the Halloween industry. We had Halloween for the children, right. And the Corridor of Fear was in here, and the adults actually enjoyed it more than the children.
Yeah.
Children would come out screaming and crying, and the parents would come out laughing and giggling, thinking, yeah, this is great, you know, can you do some more? And then on the back of that, Farmageddon was born, and the Corridor of Fear was our first house that we ever built, so that we then developed to become the Terror on the Farm, and now it's the Beast of Terror.
Beast of Terror, yeah.
Because it's just got more or less twice the size.
It's just a beast.
Yeah,
absolute beast. And these sort of big, huge prop thing, are they the things that you see like at Transworld?
You do, yes. You see quite a lot of those. But, you know, if you've got the space to do them, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, some attractions just aren't big enough. You know, if you look at the meat locker,
yeah,
you know, we couldn't fit one in it unless you had a space, and then you're going to lose a lot of area, aren't you, really?
Yeah. You know. I suppose it's just what you can use to your advantage, yes, in each attraction,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Do you get much like repeat customers throughout the, like if they come one night, they book
will
in for
get. I
night.
Mean, I've spoken to people over the years, and they'll come two or three times in the season, which is great, you know, because they're real big horror fans. Some people will come every year, obviously. You know. Some people will come every 3 years.
Yeah.
But the way the industry works is people can have a great night out, and they tell people in the office, oh, you've got to go, it's so scary, yeah, we had a great time, this, that and the other. And people think, well, how can it be? And then they come out and they go, oh, my God, you know.
It's great, yeah.
And it's sort of, it's sort of
the word of mouth is key, really, isn't it? Yeah.
But the day of social media has certainly helped.
Oh, yeah,
grow. So this, from there, from where you've just started now, this is all new for this year.
Wow.
So this is, as obviously, we've got to go upstairs, so this is the way we come upstairs, and just a big cave as such, and it is quite dark in here, but by the time you get in here your eyes have acclimatised, and then we're heading into the Chapel of Rest.
This looks good. I can't wait to see it.
This is concrete, we sprayed that on the walls,
right? Jeez.
Yeah. In the height of summer, I think I lost about a stone.
Oh gosh, I bet. Jeez, yeah.
This is foam, spray foam, that's plastic, and then this bit here is all concrete.
Right.
Onto a proper sablet. It's like a fibre board.
I think you did all this in house as well.
Yeah.
I suppose that it pays to be skilled in certain craftsmanships. Yeah. Definitely, like it pays to be a hands-on director. Yeah.
Well, it does.
Definitely.
I think it's slowly killing me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the Chapel of Rest. So the idea is the altar's been smashed through, and the sort of like the people within have created some sort of devil worship, occult sort of area.
That is stunning, isn't it? It's something nice that you can, like you say, because you don't just own the park and manage the park, you create, design, build, have all hands on deck sort of thing. Is it nice to be able to go at the end of it? It's a bit like decorating your house, isn't it? Once it's done, you go, oh, this is a nice living room. You get the same sort of feel.
Absolutely,
this is nice. I've put the telly in that corner. And then,
in fact, we laugh so much. The guy that did the decorating for us in here does a lot of paper, and, you know, does professional paper. He's a professional painter and decorator. We were doing it, and then we were asking him to sort of, you know, you'll see in other rooms we go in, just to peel the top of the wallpaper off, and don't worry about it if it's not the same batch number. And he couldn't get his head around it. And so he'd done one particular room, and we were following up behind doing the artwork. He came back in, his face was a picture. It really was. And I think about day four, he really got into it, and he understood what we were trying to do. You know, because it was, when it was wallpapered, it looked good, but it all looked fresh and clean.
Yeah, too clean, too good.
And you've just got to distress it. And then we've got lights coming through the slats in the roof, so when we get some haze in here, you know, we'll have shafts of light coming.
Yeah.
So
this is going to be phenomenal.
That
looks
really good as well. There's all the candles there as well.
Yeah.
You know, when you add the sound and the actors in here. But,
is that something that you sort of do as well? The soundtracks and everything just sort of... Do you get anyone to sort of create those? Or
we have done in the past. Yeah. We just, because we've actually still got the church downstairs, and this is the Chapel of Rest up here.
It works.
It makes sense
together.
To use the same.
Yeah, of course.
So we've actually got six sound zones in this particular house. Yeah, it's alright, they're just putting in part of the...
another spire's come down.
So it's and again, you know, because we're upstairs and downstairs, you can't have too many different sound effects because you get a lot of bleed.
A lot of bleed.
And it'll spoil it.
You know. Definitely.
But, when we built downstairs, we didn't build it to take an upstairs.
Right.
So all, there's literally below us is 14 inches of timber to strengthen all the structure up so we can put this on the top.
That's creating a whole thing in itself, isn't it? Yeah, you're just building a whole new foundation, really.
Stu and Jed outside, the two joiners that have been with me for years. And they've built all this place, you know, together with me designing it and lifting and shifting and that, you know, the great guys have. And again, finally, they've realised that it doesn't have to be square. It doesn't have to be bob on.
Just as well.
As long as it's structurally sound.
Yeah.
You know. But they've enjoyed it, just because in a modern day house, you wouldn't get a ceiling like that with all the twists and the curves.
Yeah.
You know, and building the chapel of rest next door, you know, it's building the spire and all that.
Yeah,
it's a great challenge.
So how long would you reckon from start to finish? Obviously,
it's taken us 16 weeks to build everything.
That's really impressive. That's
two men.
Quick.
Two men, me, an artist, and an electrician. So two joiners, myself, an electrician, and an artist.
That's to build a whole new floor.
And a paper and decorator.
Yeah, and of course, Wow, that's really impressive. That's, yeah, just 4 months.
No, it's when we first started, it was quite daunting.
I bet,
at the end of it, you look back and you go, wow, you know. But all the hard work is literally below us.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of work in that, for obvious reasons. But no, it's all good.
It looks amazing.
It's all good. So then
we
come through.
To see it with some scares.
So how would you say it's changed? Obviously, this is the 12th year of Farmageddon now. How would you say that when you've sort of created the attractions as such, has it sort of changed the way you do things over time? Or is it sort of when you first started creating like the original attractions, did that formula just work, so you just sort of carried on the way it sort of...
Well, originally, the three different attractions didn't have their own independent theme. We were just coming up with different ideas and putting them in different zones, whereas now, sort of 3-4 years ago, we took the decision to actually give each house its own theme, its own background story, and followed on from that, really. And obviously, you know, we've got to make sure they're all different.
Yes.
You know, and we've been around today, and there's certainly all three of them got a different feel
totally
to them.
Totally different,
Which is what people would expect.
Yeah, definitely. It's more marketable as well, I guess, isn't it? Because you've got different attractions people can do.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, not all general public will remember the name of each one, but they'll say, do you remember the blood one with all the meat?
That's
one?
Right,
or do you remember the 3D one? They'll just call them what they think, but they'll be able to go, oh yeah, we went in the barn one or the terror one, you know.
And there's no, you know, people ask which one do we do first? Well, it doesn't really matter which one we do first. When they arrive to the attraction, we manage the crew, the queues, so we will send them to the queues that can take that capacity at that time, and then it's up to them to choose which ones they want to do next.
And you do sort of like a different timed ticket interview, one
earlier,
then one later.
There's four intakes
throughout
the night, starting at 7 o'clock.
And that works better to keep queues
just to keep the
down.
Queues, people keep the roads, you know, relatively quieter. Helps manage the car parks, all for safety. And you know, the customer's experience has got to be, you know, as good at coming to the event as leaving the event as during the event. So it's all part of the whole night, really.
Yeah. Especially with, like we said earlier, social media so prominent, it's so easy for people to say how they've had an amazing 10 out of 10 time, but it's just as easy. And sometimes people feel the need to more so say that was rubbish, I had a bad time. And that could be not through your fault. It could be another person in their group or another, you know. So.
And what we find is that if you are a scare attraction virgin, and you come to it and you fully embrace it, you know, you just go away having one of the best experiences you've had.
Yeah.
And when they come back again the second time, subconsciously they know what to expect. And, you know, for whatever reason, they seem to be the ones that will go on
on the review sites and say, well, actually, it wasn't as good as the first time. Mm. But it's like watching a film, isn't it? It's never as good as the
first
time.
You always know the twist. Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, hopefully with the scenes that we've created and the attention to detail, that, you know, they will enjoy it.
Oh, 100%, time and time again. Definitely. Yeah. We enjoy it every year, don't we?
I look forward to it every year.
We know Halloween started when Farmageddon's open. Yeah. Always, halfway through September, that's it, it started.
And then we go into one of our original favourites, Bloodbath Alley.
Nice. So this is back now down into
down
sort of
the
original
old part of the house
farm.
Now.
Yeah, that's a big extension, definitely. Yeah, it's not just one or two extra seats, it's a whole, like you say, it's
well,
a whole
new. As good as big as it. It's as large as it is upstairs, it is
downstairs.
Down,
yeah, you know, wow.
We've used the whole footprint.
Look at Kate's face.
So he does
that.
He does actually move, and his head moves, and he growls, and he stands up, and his arms wave. But we've no air at the moment, so he can't. He sits back about another 6 feet taller.
So that's all done by air compression as well. Yeah.
He is the beast of terror.
Yeah.
Oh, that's insane.
Yeah. It's really impressive.
It's so amazing.
And we do have another one called Yogarth.
Who is
probably another 5-6 feet taller than him.
Really?
And he goes on that facade outside.
Right, oh, okay, nice.
Gosh, he is scary.
That's what we have always, every time we come, the big set pieces are what are sort of, like, you know,
it's surprising.
The men to the boys, isn't it?
You can stand here, or behind that door, looking through this gap here, and most people are like, oh! And don't take it in, but I mean, you know, it's doing its job, isn't
it? Yeah, 100%, definitely. Yeah,
it's killing us. Because you think, well, why don't we do this? And why this needs that? And in real life, would it have that? And,
Yeah. But I suppose that's the attention to detail that makes it worthwhile in the end, because you know it's authentic, but also scary, and it does a purpose, you know.
Again, it's just submersing the customer into the reality of the nightmare.
Definitely. And it's 360 immersion, isn't it? It's literally, you're looking all around. So what made you want to, obviously, I guess you could have gone an easier option, I guess, in making that outside one after the paintball. You could have made that your fourth attraction or whatnot. Yeah. How come after 5 years or whatnot you've done it now, really? Is it just because of how big the industry is?
Or? Just circumstantial, really.
Yeah.
And I've got these two guys here, Stu and Jed, I mean, you know, without them, we wouldn't have been able to do what we do. I think they've enjoyed doing it because it's not building houses or putting loft extensions.
Yeah.
So they've, you know, they've had some fun doing it. So why did we go upstairs? Why do people climb Everest?
Yeah,
because we can.
I suppose.
And just, you know, and rather than set to have, you know, a fourth house with another set of actors, you know, another footprint, you know, it brings, whilst it might be good and add more to the attraction, on the other hand, you know, from a business point of view, it's all under the same roof.
Yeah.
The systems are already in place. You know, the theme runs on, so it grows and grows. So it is a bigger house.
Yeah. It's just an extension.
It is an extension.
Just doubling it,
And I think it's just, you know, the way that, because we run Farmer Ted's in the daytime, you know, we often have a brainstorming session and think, oh, wouldn't it be great to do X, Y, and Z? And all of a sudden, depending on which business we're discussing, we might say, well, hang on a minute, how will it impact Farmer Ted's or Farmageddon? So we had to look at, you know, that side of things.
Definitely.
And whilst we had all that space up there, it's been great, but I'm now running out of storage.
Yeah.
So then, guys, there we go. Thank you so, so much to Mark, the owner, director, creative director, managing director here at Farmageddon. We had an absolutely fantastic time going through the attractions. Contagion and Meat Locker looking as beautiful as ever. And the Beast of Terror is absolutely phenomenal. It was beautiful anyway when it was turned on the farm. The foundry added to it, just added a whole new depth to the attraction. And now the fact that there's a whole new level, I think it makes it the UK's longest scare attraction here at Farmageddon. Martin, that Beast of Terror looks insane, right?
Oh, it looks absolutely immense, and I can't wait to go through.
Yeah, can it be Halloween now?
I wish. Yeah,
it just looks absolutely phenomenal. The attraction up there, there's so much hard work gone into it, from just concept design to build. To build a whole new level is something that's insane. The fact that it wasn't created for that in the first place.
In 4 months, they've had what was a big maze anyway, and in 4 months, they've doubled it.
Basically, and they've had to build all the foundations again to make it stable for the second level. They've built all the rooms on the second level, they've themed them, they've designed them, they've done the lighting, the sound, the smells.
Inside is stunning.
Yeah. I'm absolutely loving it. I can't wait to get to Farmageddon. It's just a few weeks away now. Hannah and Kate have gone to Pets and Horses.
I'm sorry, I can't. He's so cute.
So from this beast to the Beast of Terror, yep. How amazing does that attraction look?
I mean, at the moment, the horse is life. But yeah, the attraction is absolutely incredible. I forgot until walking in with the lights on how absolutely amazing that chapel scene is. And I can't wait to see the new scenes absolutely fully lit up and operational this year.
Yeah, definitely. And Kate, your first time?
Stunning. I was gobsmacked and in awe at some bits. Literally, there were some bits where I had my mouth wide open.
I saw.
Having never seen. There's like the animatronics and different things like that. Like, I've not seen any of that kind of.
A caliber. That,
yeah, at all, ever. So I was just in awe. And like just some amazing, beautiful sight lines in it all. It's just wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So I'm going to finish off here. I think we're going to pet some more horses.
Mikey, stroke a horse.
I will stroke a horse. And I'm going to send it back to myself in the studio where we can give you all the ticket information and how to get onto the website for here at Farmageddon to book your tickets. Book them now before they sell out. This is a sellout event on multiple nights. So I'm going to head it back right now to the studio. We can get all the information on how to buy your tickets for Farmageddon.
You're listening to Scaretrack.
So there we go, guys. The on-location interview with Mark Edwards for Behind the Screams at Farmageddon. Absolutely fantastic time. Guys, get your tickets now. You do not want to miss out. This is a sellout event. It sells out on many nights during its October run. Just visit www.farmageddon.co.uk. That's farmageddon.co.uk. Get your tickets now before they run out, guys. One of the leading scare attractions, scare parks here in the UK. Contagion, absolutely phenomenal 3D maze. We love it every single time. Meat Locker, a fantastic, bloody and gory attraction. And then, of course, we've got the Beast of Terror, which is a new incarnation from Terror on the Farm, featuring the Foundry. Now it's double its size. It's absolutely phenomenal. The maze inside is so beautiful, so well themed, so well thought out, well designed. We really, really can't wait to go through with actors absolutely terrifying us. And of course, you've also got Zombie Paintball as well, the small upcharge attraction where you can actually shoot zombies in the head. You get to go on a nice little trailer ride with some rock music, some hardcore music, and you can just shoot loads of zombies as you go through the field. An absolutely fantastic time. Like I say, make sure you get your tickets, guys. Farmageddon.co.uk. That's www.farmageddon.co.uk. Just to end the episode off, we want to say a huge, huge thank you to Mark Edwards for taking time out of his busy schedule to take myself and the Scaretrack team around the attractions. We had the lights on tour and we found out loads of stuff throughout the interview, obviously on how Farmageddon started and how ideas come and how it's created and designed by Mark himself and his hard-working team. So thank you so, so much to Mark and the Farmageddon Farmer Ted's team. We really, really do appreciate you letting us come and check out your attractions. Speaking of checking them out, we will be there on press night, guys, on the 11th of September. We are going to be there recording live for the Scaretrack podcast. That episode will be out the day after on the 12th of September. So we have a couple of episodes, smaller ones, on the way up to that day. However, that is our first Halloween event in only just a few short weeks now, guys. After that, we'll have episodes coming from all over the UK and Europe from our Scare Park visits. So, finishing off the episode, thank you so, so much for listening to this episode of the Scaretrack podcast. And if you want to see some of the visuals of the attractions at Farmageddon, just check out our YouTube vlog. The Scarecam vlog is on YouTube now. Just search for Scaretrack on YouTube, and it's the latest video there. Just a shorter 20-minute video, but you'll be able to see some behind-the-scenes lights-on tours of the houses at Farmageddon. So it's definitely worth going over, checking out the video, give it a thumbs up, and please be sure to subscribe as well, guys. That means that you get every single Scarecam vlog as soon as it goes online. Speaking of joining us online and subscribing, make sure you head over to our YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter. That's right, we are on all the social media networks. Just search for Scaretrack, give us a like, give us a follow, give us a share. It'd be awesome to chat to you guys on there as well. Interact with us. It's great chatting to you guys about scare attractions, especially during the scare season. It is not far away. Whilst you're on social media, make sure you check out Farmageddon. They are on all the social media platforms as well. There's some really quality content on there. I know they do competitions as well during October, so it's definitely worth checking those guys out. And like I say, get your tickets, farmageddon.co.uk. Other than that, we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time. Bye.